Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues where Jesus teaches in the synagogue, as we pick up in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Paul said in Romans 8, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "And you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So we as the believers have that same relationship to the Spirit that Jesus had, in that we can be filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and empowered by the Spirit of God. And as he was, there went out a fame of him through all of the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. He was going around teaching in the synagogues in the area of the Galilee. Now, at this particular time, according to Josephus at this time was the governor in the area of Galilee. And Josephus, in his writings, declares that he had 204 cities in his jurisdiction that had populations exceeding 10,000 people. So at the time that Jesus was ministering in the Galilee, it was a very populated area, perhaps as many as 3 million people. Of course, that's the number that Josephus claimed. 3 million people living in the area of Galilee during the ministry of Jesus. Today, there's just about 4 million people in all of the land of Israel. Most of them are in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. There's probably less than 500,000 people in the Galilee region today. But in the time of Christ, over 3 million people inhabiting that area, which, of course, is an extremely beautiful area. If there were an area of the world which I would enjoy living, it would be along the Sea of Galilee. It is so beautiful. I love it there. You got great... Well, you guys, I guess you got hot summers, but you've got the lake right there to ski in and swim in and all. But it's just a beautiful place and very, very great. In fact, they used to say that in the Galilee, it was easier to raise 10 tons of fruit than one child. You know, it produced so abundantly in that area. Now, he now returned to Nazareth, where he was born and where he grew up. He spent 30 years in Nazareth, where he was known as the carpenter's son, and he was well known by the people. And so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he was in the habit of doing it, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the scriptures. Now, this was something that a custom that he had developed. He would go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and would teach in the synagogue. So he stood up to read the scriptures, and they delivered unto him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And of course, all the scriptures were on scrolls, and they would keep these in a depository in the synagogue, and they would carry it out and they would unroll it. And so they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and each day they had a particular passage that they read out of the scrolls. And in the synagogue worship, even to the present day, on every day of the year, on this particular day, they read these particular scriptures. And so they handed him the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the man who was in charge. He reads minister, but really he was the servant. He isn't a minister in the sense that we think of a minister today, but he was just the fellow that carried the scrolls around. And he sat down, and all of the eyes of all of the people that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. When he sat down, that was indicative of the fact that he was now going to begin to teach. The rabbis always sat when they taught. And so he stood to read the scriptures, but having read them, then in sitting down, it was signifying to the people he is now going to teach us the scriptures. He looked up this particular passage in Isaiah, which is Isaiah 61. And he read out of Isaiah 61 the prophecy concerning the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This was to be the ministry of the Messiah. Now, if you will go back to Isaiah 61, you'll find that he stopped right in the middle of the text of Isaiah 61. He didn't complete the reading of the ministry of the Messiah. The reason being, there are two comings of the Messiah. The rest of Isaiah 61 pertains to those things that will transpire when he comes again, as it speaks of the judgment and all that will transpire. That will await his second coming. Those things that he read are the things that pertain to his first coming. These would be his works. These would be his activities. And thus it was extremely significant that, as he said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he closed the book. Now, it's interesting to compare the ministry of Jesus with John the Baptist. With John the Baptist, there was really no gospel. Just repent, you generation of vipers. Bring forth something that shows you've repented, you know. Who warned you to flee from the wrath of come, you know? Make this path straight, and I mean, just laying it on them. Really no gospel. But with Jesus, we find the gospel. I've come to mend up, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And so the glorious gospel that was brought to us by Jesus Christ. Now, later on, when John the Baptist began to have questions concerning Jesus after he had been in prison for a while and Jesus had not kicked Herod out from the throne and taken over, John sent his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the Messiah, or shall we look for another?" In other words, what's the big delay? I'm tired of this prison. And in that same hour, many came to Jesus who were blind and lame, the poor, and he healed them. He restored the sight. And he said to those disciples of John, "Go back and tell John what you have seen. How the blind receive their sight, the lame are walking, and to the meek the gospel is being preached." And Jesus, rather than answering directly, "Go back and tell John, yes, I'm the one you're looking for," rather than his own testimony, in essence, he was saying, "My works testify of who I am." These were to be the works of the Messiah. Now, later on, Jesus said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake? Don't believe it because I say it unto you, but I have demonstrated the works of the Messiah. I have done those things that the Scripture said the Messiah would do in giving sight to the blind. The lame are walking. The gospel is being preached to the poor. And these works are a witness, and they attest to the fact that Jesus is indeed the Messiah." And so he closed the book, gave it to the minister. He sat down. Everybody was looking at him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." That must have been an electric, dynamic moment. As he closed the book, having read these prophecies of the Messiah, which they all knew and recognized to be prophecies of the Messiah, and he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled." When he was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, She said to him, "We know that when the Messiah is come, he's going to tell us everything." And Jesus said, "Woman, I've got news for you. The one who is speaking to you is he." Imagine the dynamic of that moment, you know, to realize, hey, this is it. He's the one. He is declaring this to the people here at the beginning of his ministry. "And all bore witness, and they wondered at his gracious words, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" They were stumbled because, you know, they knew him. "And he said unto them, 'You surely will say this proverb unto me, Physician, heal thyself. For whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do it also here in this country.'" Now, we've heard that you've done some exciting things down in Capernaum. Do something here. "And he said, 'I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, but to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Now, Jesus is saying some things that are going to really upset them. Because one thing a Jew was, and that was he was a complete national. In fact, in their writings of this time, the Jews taught that the Gentiles were only created for fuel for hell. And they did not believe that a Gentile could be saved. "We are the sons of Abraham." And they're this strong nationalistic feeling that salvation was only for the Jews. Everyone else was excluded. So that when Jesus begins to point out a few things in their history, it upsets them. Now, at the time of Elijah, when there was this famine as a result of the drought for 3.5 years, there was a widow who was sustained during the famine by Elijah. The Lord sent Elijah to her, but she wasn't a Jewess. She was in the city of Sarepta. And there were many lepers in Israel. Though there were many widows in Israel, none of the widows were visited by Elijah, just this one outside. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet. But none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Oh man, that's enough to make any Jew's blood boil. We are the people. God only cares for us and no one else. "And all of those that were in the synagogue when they heard these things were filled with anger, with wrath. And they rose up and threw him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him head first over it." They're going to take him up and toss him over the cliff. "But he passing through the midst of them went his way." So he just disappeared, actually, from their sight and went on down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with authority. Now, no one spoke with authority in those days. When anyone would preach, they'd say, "Now Rabbi Hillel declares." They were like government employees. No one wanted to, you know, take any word of authority. They always pass you off to someone else. No one wants to take responsibility for anything. And that's why it's so hard to get a permit anywhere. You know, no one wants to accept any responsibility. You know, if it comes back, then I'm, you know, it's my neck. And it's awfully hard to deal with government agencies. Well, in those days, when everyone spoke, they would always speak with the quoting of someone else. You know, he said this or he declared that. But Jesus wasn't quoting the rabbis. He just said, I say unto you. Now you've heard that it hath been said. You heard that this is what was said. But I say unto you. And he spoke with authority, and they weren't used to that, and they were amazed at the fact that he spoke with such authority, astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The demons recognized him. And here in the synagogue in Capernaum, this demon-possessed man cries out. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and did not hurt him. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What kind of word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirit, and they come out. Now in those days they had rites of exorcism. But I mean, they would go through a ceremony that you wouldn't believe. Days over that person with the unclean spirit. And they would use sometimes a gold ring and go through this whole long routine and rigmarole to exorcise the unclean spirits. And it was really a heavy-duty thing. And here Jesus is just speaking to them and commanding them, and they're coming out, and they say, Hey, wait a minute. You know, what's going on here? What kind of word and authority is this that he can just speak to them, and they're obedient to him? And his fame went out into every place of the country around that area. And he arose out of the synagogue, and he entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with great fever, and they besought him for her. Now Simon was married, his wife's mother. It is interesting that nothing at all is mentioned concerning the wives of the apostles. Now, because nothing is mentioned from them, we should not infer anything concerning them. The scripture is silent. We should be silent. There is no inferences at all that we can draw from the silence of the scripture concerning the wives of the apostles. No inferences can be made. Inferences that they were second-rate citizens or anything of this nature are absolutely wrong because the scripture is silent concerning them. It's amazing when the scriptures are silent how many times men love to speak. And the books that are written about the silence of the scriptures, you know, the inferences and the conclusions that a person draws because the scripture is silent in a certain area. And that is all speculative, and there is to be no inferences drawn from it whatsoever. Now, we would not even know that Peter was married for sure, except that his wife's mother was sick and was taken with a great fever. Now, this is in the Greek medical terms. Luke was a doctor, and thus he diagnoses her condition with medical terms in the Greek language here. And they came to Jesus that he might help her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she arose and fixed dinner for them, ministered unto them, which means, you know, fix something to eat and prepared something for them, as mothers are so prone to do. You know, just that typical neat mom that goes out and fix something for them. And when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse kind of diseases brought them unto him, And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Messiah, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Messiah. And when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted area, and the people were looking for him. And they came unto him, and they begged him that he would not depart from them. But he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Now, if there were 204 cities with populations of 10,000 plus, it would take a good while to get around to all of these fairly good-sized little communities, 204 of them, to preach in the synagogues throughout the area of Galilee.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 4 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord watch over you this week. May the Lord bless you. May He fill you with His love, with His Spirit, with His grace, that you might show forth that grace of God in your dealings with others, that you might manifest the Spirit, the nature of Jesus Christ in your relationship with others, that you might walk even as He walked, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Lord, I believe in You. I'll always believe in You.
It is by faith that you've been walking into one level of spiritual maturity to another. Faith is the key to a successful Christian life. And that is why the Word of God tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It was faith that led Abraham into the land of promise. It was faith that led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. It was faith that enabled Peter to step out of the boat and to walk on water. The question is, what might faith do in you?
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, Faith, or to preview a chapter for free online, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673.